Today I'm going to, what I've written down is a little different. I intended to do a lot more teaching this morning instead of the outright preaching, but I'm not going to guarantee that that's the case. I may just get my full preach on here in a minute and cut loose. Here's the deal, folks. I've been struggling for a few weeks about who we are, who I am, who you are, who we are as a church. And I ask myself sometimes, how much of that is the real deal? Even about myself. How much is this is the real deal? Because I can sure put on a good show at times. I titled this sermon, Alex, the title for this sermon is Lipstick on a Pig. You can dress up a pig. You can make them, wash them, give them a bath, dress them up in fancy clothes, like one of those dog outfits except bigger, you know, with a tutu and stuff. Put lipstick on a pig and dress it up, but guess what? It's still a pig. And a pig is really not much good until it's turned into bacon. But still, what I'm saying is this. Unless it's one of those cute little potbelly pigs, it's a pet, you know, that, okay, whatever. But you can dress up your Christianity. You can dress up your life. And everybody around you goes, oh, wow, well, that's a model. And be just as rotten on the inside that you keep covered up. We're going to address that today. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 48. Lipstick on a pig. Which is kind of interesting that I chose that title, because as Jewish people they don't eat pig. They don't eat pork. They're missing out, man. They're missing out. I want us to look at chapter 48, and we're going to look at the first 11 verses of this chapter. I don't know about your Bible. In my Bible, this section has got a subtitle. It says, Stubborn Israel. Okay? I feel like I need to scratch that out and write Stubborn Me. Sometimes I find myself pretty stubborn. Sometimes I find myself trying to just put the lipstick on the outside without addressing what's on the inside. Verse 1 says this. Verse 1 and 2, I'm going to read those two together. It says, Listen to this. You descendants of Jacob, you who are called by the name of Israel and come from the line of Judah. You who take oaths in the name of the Lord, and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness. You, who call yourself citizens of the holy city, and claim to rely on the God of Israel, the Lord Almighty is His name. Lots of things in these first two verses I'm going to talk to you here about, okay? He says, you, descendants of Jacob. Now, we may not, we may have a hard time trying to relate to that. And part of the problem and the struggle is when we take a passage of Scripture that is more than 2,500 years old and we read that and say, okay, yeah, but that, how do I bring that to me here today in my time, in my life? The house of Jacob, the line of Jacob, it was a lineage, it was an establishment, it was recognized as something in all of Israel. Today we might say, this passage might be saying to me, listen to you who are members of a church called by the name of Israel, called Christians. You see, I'm fitting this into us. Come from the line of Judah. There's a lineage there. You who are boasting that you are from a lineage. I cannot tell you how many times we've been visiting with folks, inviting them to church, talking about their spiritual welfare. And here's the answer that I get quite frequently. Well, my uncle's a pastor. My grandfather was a preacher. My dad was a deacon. There's this lineage that they're relying on and saying, yeah, but there's people in my past, there's people that are back there. My parents were even Christians. As if that's supposed to be good enough for you. How's the commercial say? That's not how this works. It's not how any of this works. And it does not work. You do not get to ride on the coattails of those before you. They swore by the name of the Lord. They take oaths in the name of the Lord. We take oaths. We take oaths today. I was asking somebody before church if they still, I haven't been in a court in a long time, and I don't know if they still do this, but they used to make you put your hand on the Bible and say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Do they still do that? Affirm? Huh. Okay. Okay. There are people, folks. I'm not sure if you ever read about one or two or many of these who have actually taken an oath of office of some sort of a political nature, put their hand on the Bible, and have sworn to uphold some things like constitutions and rights and things like that. The problem is, even still today, just like it was back then, to swear by the name of the Lord doesn't carry much weight in their lives. And the Lord is calling this. He said, you who take oaths in the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness. Basically, you who are living a lie, you who stand up in front of everybody and say, I solemnly swear, whatever it is in your life, I profess my faith in Jesus Christ in front of everybody, God and everybody, but not in truth or righteousness, leads to something else. They made mention of God. It says here, you who call yourselves citizens of the holy city and claim to rely on the God of Israel and the Lord Almighty in His name. They made mention of God. Well, we do that. Okay, we still do that. Somebody sneezes, what do you say? God bless you. God bless you. Sometimes the young crew, when they're texting, they type in OMG, making mention of God. Sometimes God, people will say, and they're really angry, they'll mention God too. So we mention God. We at least know that there's something that we call God and we mention Him. I mean, we got, in God we trust. It's on our money, right? So we're not too far from the Israelites here. We at least make mention of God, not always in a proper manner, but still we make mention of God. They call themselves citizens of the holy city. And for us, we might say, well, I live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. God bless America. They claimed to rely on God. Now, here's the deal. They claimed to rely on God. There's a difference between relying on God and claiming to rely on God. And the truth is, what they were saying is this. God, I rely on God because He exists for my benefit. He exists for me. And so I'll make mention of Him. I will swear oaths by Him. I will claim the descendant. That I'm in the line of the right line, and I'm living in the place that I'm supposed to be, and I follow the right rules when I feel like it, and God exists for me. And that's kind of where they were back then. Isn't it funny how times change? But people really don't. We're still in the same boat, folks. And here's the deal. And I'm not asking for your forgiveness. I'm just explaining to you that I'm speaking hard words today. Okay? Take it for what it is. I believe it to be the truth. What was happening here was that it was all a front. It was a joke. It was a farce. It was not in truth, nor was it in righteousness. It was a show. They were putting lipstick on the pig, dressing it up. Verse 3. We're going to go through this passage kind of verse by verse. I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced, and then I made them known. Then suddenly I acted, and they came to pass. God is saying, look, I told you about some things in the past. Not only did I tell you they would come about, but then I actually did it. God is saying to these people, I have proven myself over and over and over, so much in such a manner that it's unexplainable by people. Because I told it, and then I brought it about. And no human can do that. Not the things that I'm talking about, says God here. Verse 4 says, for I knew how stubborn you were. Your neck muscles were iron. Your forehead was bronze. You know what that means? You were stiff-necked and hard-headed. Stiff-necked, you know what that means? People who are stiff-necked, they don't change. They're set in their ways. Hard-headed, stubborn. You know anybody like that? Verse 5. Therefore, I told you these things long ago, before they happened, and I announced them to you, so that you would not say, my images brought them about. My wooden image and my metal God ordained them. My bank account caused it to happen. My good fortune, my skills, my ability, my athleticism caused this to be. It's me and I did this all by me onesies. God's saying, look, I did this stuff so that you couldn't say this was anything else other than me. I created the earth. Scientists still can't explain how God did that. You heard the story about the scientist, and he was debating with God and said, look, we've gotten so smart now, we can now create human life just like you did, God. And God said, oh, yeah, well, let's put this to the test here. And God said, listen, let's look at the scripture and see how I did this. He said, well, you took some dirt and you formed it. He said, all right, let's go. And so they picked up some dirt and started forming some stuff. And God said, oh, ho, wait a minute. First, you got to make your own dirt. Where did it come from? God spoke it, and it was. I've proven myself over and over. You have no excuses. There are things beyond the ability of man that I have done. And it's so obvious. If you'll open your eyes, open your mind up, you'll see the truth. Verse 6. You have heard these things. Look at them all. Will you not admit them? From now on, I will tell you of new things, of hidden things, unknown to you. He's saying, look, you just need to be honest with yourselves. Be honest with me. And be honest with yourself. You see, that's part of where that putting lipstick on a pig comes from. There's nothing wrong with the pig. God made pigs. He even told Peter they were good. God made pigs to be pigs, not to wear tutus and lipstick. Be honest with yourselves Be honest with God. God knows everything about you anyway. So why lie to Him? Come to Him and admit who we are. And He will admit to you who He wants you to be. Not only will He tell you who He wants you to be, He will help you become that. You can resist it, though. Verse 7, going to 8. You have neither heard nor understood. From of old your ears have not been opened. Well do I know how treacherous you are. You were called a rebel from birth. Guess what? We can still identify with those verses too. Verse 9. For my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you so as to not destroy you completely. Do you think this is really all about you? God gets the glory. God always gets the glory. He will not be denied. We see that in a minute. He will not be denied. This is not about you. It's about God. He says, for my own name's sake, I have withheld what you really deserve. Because I'm a merciful and gracious God. But don't you forget, I still have wrath. Verse 10. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. I have allowed you pain. Why do they refine silver? Why do they burn it? To get the junk out, to burn off the impurities. I have refined you as silver to burn out the impurities. Guess what? Fire hurts. These things that God allows in our lives to refine us are painful sometimes. And it's not because God hates you. It's not because God doesn't like you. It's not because God has it out for you. It's not because God is a vindictive God. It's because He knows there's good stuff in there. And He wants to bring that to the forefront. You know how He knows that there's good stuff in there? Because He put it there in the first place. Verse 11, for my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. I will not yield my glory to your physical ability. I will not yield my glory to your hot smoking wife. I will not yield my glory to your 401k. I will not yield my glory to you. It's mine. And I made you for my glory. I'm refining you for my glory. Be who I've called you to be. And in truth, the farce doesn't cut the mustard. Folks, we're living in a day of farce. How many of you turn on the news? Well, you can turn the news to the different channel, same story, and get a whole different version. What is trustworthy? What in this world is trustworthy? The politicians, they make promises, aren't they? They're making promises right now. They're telling you what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, what it's going to cost you, how much they're going to do it for free, and it's not going to cost you anything. And then when they finally get to where they're getting, you vote them in and say, yep, we want that. Guess what happens? Almost nothing of what they said beforehand comes about. Because they never intended it to begin with. Folks, you and I are not so much different. I say things I don't mean all the time. We looked at there's a pattern here in this passage. There is privilege. These people were saying, well, we're privileged. We're of the line and the tribe and the this, and we call on God, and we have all these things, and we're from the holy city. There's privilege, and then there's form. They put on a form of godliness, but it was really nothing. Okay, they put lipstick on the pig, and then there's the profession: God is our God. We swear oaths by God. I call myself a Christian. We're privileged. I belong to the church, Dolan Baptist Church, which is a great church. Okay, belong to Dolan Baptist Church. There's a form. Yes, when I come in the church, I'm respected. People look at me. Because and they think I'm a good prayer because I pray. And they think, you know, that I'm a good Sunday school teacher and because I teach. And they think I did this nice thing for this person that one time. And so they think I'm generous, and that's great. And that's great. And see, there's a form there and a profession. Yes, I will stand when the song is sung, and I will clap my hand, and I will even go down to the front every once in a while. I'll take up the offering. Whatever it is, I profess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Inside the church house, yes. But nowhere else. But still, I profess that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and so I'm a Christian, and yet, but there's no real religion. Not in truth, nor in righteousness. And the prophet here, Isaiah, he mentions the usual outward marks of the true Israelite. Those things that were visible from the outside, they were mere formalities. They were disconnected from a personal and living faith in God. They were the lipstick on the pig. The people said they were Jews, but they were really not. They were something else. Because they weren't living truly as a Jew should live. Their professions, they could not stand the examinations of the heart searcher. God knows. You can lie. You can lie to people around you, and you can make them believe all sorts of things, but God is never fooled. Insincerity is absolutely offensive to the Father. Do we really think we can fool God by being a person whose words do not represent our heart? This broke Isaiah's heart that his people in this day, there's a contrast with what they say, with what they showed, and with their actual state of unrighteousness was, and hypocrisy. I found a quote this week by Matthew Henry. He's a commentator, wrote lots of great books and whatnot and commentaries. And he says this: how high their profession soared, what a fair show they made in the flesh, and how far they went towards heaven, what a good livery they wore. That means they made their appearance look right. And what a good face they put upon a very bad heart. See, it doesn't matter how good you make it look on the inside. If the inside's rotten, it's still just plain rotten. Maybe pretty rotten, but it's just rotten. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 and 28 says this: woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! Who's he talking to? The people who were making the biggest show about how good they were. He said, you hypocrite, you are like whitewashed tombs, which look very beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Now you're here this morning. So you at least recognize the need to pay God some homage. You recognize that there is a God, and you're here this morning for whatever reason. Maybe you felt like you were going to hell if you didn't come, or for whatever reason, you're here because you at least feel the need to pay Him homage. Some people go to church because they feel the need to square up with God after living the week that they just lived. Does that really please God? Is that real, genuine faith? Now you can be who you want to be. You really can. But just be honest about it. Jesus said this in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. You're familiar with this verse. I wish you were either hot or cold. But because you're just lukewarm, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. You know what that means? Your hypocrisy makes me sick. makes me want to vomit. You say you're this, but then I see this. Actions speak louder than words. You know the old saying, the proof is in the pudding? You can call it chocolate pie all day long. But if it's banana pudding, it's banana pudding. Be honest. And you can be what you want to be. If you want to be the kind of person that you really, really are, and then just be that and be honest about it and quit trying to put on a show to make everybody else think you're something else. You're going to have to deal with God on that because that's not who God's called you to be. But still, at least be honest about it. It's what Jesus is saying. I wish you were either hot or cold. But God has got so much more for you. That's the good news. The first step is for us to recognize and to admit, you know what? I am fooling some people because I'm not being true. I'm not being genuine. People think I'm all this and I'm really all this other over here. God wants you to first get honest with yourself. And then He wants you to get honest with Him. And then He says this, let's refine you as silver and let's make the outside match the inside. That's my God. That's my God. That's my God who can take a broken pottery and form it into a priceless vase. He wants to do the same with you. We're all not there, folks. Let me change that. All of us are not there. None of us are there. None of us are there. There's none not righteous. No, not even one. We're all a work in progress. The work cannot begin until you be honest with yourself, honest with God, and say, this is what I really am. You know what God will say? I know. But that's not who I intended you to be. So let's get to work on that right now. Let's start changing some of that stuff. Why don't we build up on some solid foundation? Why don't we start fresh? Why don't we wipe the slate clean? Matter of fact, let's even get rid of that foundation because it's crumbly. Let's dig down. Let's get some fresh stuff. I'm a great engineer, and I know how to build foundations. And if you'll do that and let God go to work, and sometimes you got to do the demo work, right? How many of you watch DIY or HGTV? Before you can get the new stuff, there has to be a lot of mess. Sometimes there has to be demo. Stuff gets broken and hauled out and dumped in the dumpster before the new can be brought in. I don't know what those things are in your life, but those are the things that God wants to work on so that you're not ended up putting lipstick on a pig and calling it something else. Oh, my friend, God has so much in store for you. So much in store for you. And it's not God who is withholding out of vengeance, out of spite. Most often, it's us that are withholding the blessings because of our disobedience. And what God says, let's make the inside match the outside. Let's make the inside match the outside. The outside looks pretty, it looks good, and that's great. But let's fix the inside so that it's true and honest. Lord, today I don't know how many people this message was for. Maybe it was just for me. But Lord, I believe that there are more than one of us that are in a situation, in a position to where we're not truly honest. And we can't be honest because of what's on the inside is not pretty. It's ugly. It's nasty, it's tainted, it's rotten, it's unhealthy. But we keep that our secret so that nobody else knows. At least not in the right circles. Oh Lord, help us to be real. Not that we have to come out and say, look, this is who I really, really am. But that we can come out and say, God is making me to where my inside matches my outside. God is doing a work in me. He's rebuilding me from the inside out so that when I stand in front of you, I'm not a hypocrite. So that when I speak to you, when I tell you about the love of God, when I stand in front of you, I'm not a liar, but I'm speaking the truth. Because I know that there is a power greater than me that has done a magnificent work in me. So magnificent that I have to share with you and tell you because I want you to experience the same. You see, that's God's plan for us. Lord, help us to be that kind of people. Help us to be willing to be real and raw and genuine and honest. Lord, the truth is, you want to make us into something that is greater than we can ever even imagine. But it begins with us. It begins with us. Lord, the resources are there. Your resources are ready and waiting. But it begins with us willing to be honest with you. Father, help us to be real and honest with you in Jesus' name. Amen.